football on off the ball.
You can drive yourself mad with that kind of stuff, can't you? Like, you can't take your job home with you all the time. Like, if you're worried about what people are saying about the football club that you cover or support, you're always going to have problems.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Racing Pod on Off the Ball with William Hill. 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.
And welcome to episode 127 of the Racing Pod on Off the Ball with John Duggan and Johnny Ward. Remember, we're here every week with analysis, race previews, tip stories, interviews, bit of crack as well. Reminder as well, too, folks, the Off the Ball Racing Pod is free wherever you get your podcasts. How are you, Johnny?
Very well, JD.
Punchestown upon us next week. Just looking last year, they had over 136,000 people for the 5 days and over 42,000 on the Friday last year. Bit later starting times, weather's good. What's not to like?
I mean, you just look at the weather for the next, this is until Sunday week, and I'm getting a small bit of prospect of rain on Sunday. But other than that, 9 to 15 degrees across the week, 17 degrees maybe on the Friday, which is one of the big days of Punchestown. Then into Saturday, which has become a big day. And on the one level for ground staff, it's definitely a bit of a challenge. For all that we've had a wet winter and spring, they will have, you know, they'll be conscious of this. But for the race goer, this is phenomenal. Like, you can get really bad Punchestowns where it's just miserable. This makes all of the difference. And people going there, the last day we were at the races together, it was a lovely day for the Fairy House National. Punchestown's going to be like that all week. It's fantastic. And Punchestown is a mix of, I think, high quality racing and less pressure than Cheltenham for the participants, except if you're maybe going for the title race. And also, it's just good crack. Good crack.
Are horses, to your experience and knowledge, sometimes over the top? So if they're being maybe targeted at Cheltenham, do you get some? I find sometimes there can be surprise winners.
100%. Like, I mean, you look at even last year, Copac de Boers, like year after year after year.
So punters need to be careful in that regard.
Very, very careful. If there's a horse who has extremely outstanding claims on the back of Cheltenham, and especially if he's had a reasonably normal year in terms of the time that he or she's been on the racetrack, you have to be wary of backing a horse at short price to Punchestown. Horses in general are trained to peak around Cheltenham. And Willie Mullins, I suppose, he trains them for Cheltenham, and he does his best to keep them going till the end of the year. But there's a big gap. I mean, there's a gap between the Dublin Racing Festival and Cheltenham that was almost specifically 6 weeks, so that would fit in the horse's kind of plan. But Punchestown is, like, with respect to Punchestown, it's still not Cheltenham, and it's a bit of an afterthought in that we will go to Punchestown, but it's not the end of the world. And my general MO with betting at Punchestown is, like, be wary of backing short price favourites who have been running at Cheltenham. That would be the, if that's, that would be the most simple thing, especially if they're very short. But it makes it a bit challenging as well. And I like freshness, which is kind of why you look at John Bond running this weekend and you're like, God, you'd be taking him on every day of the week, except it's John Bond.
He's and it's like, Sandown. And it's Sandown,
yes. Yeah. But I'd be similar enough with the Aintree Festival now. But anything like that comes after Cheltenham, I'd be wary backing horse at short prices. And you forgive them if they disappoint, really.
Remember, there's a horse won last year at Punchestown. It was down there, Cottle's Slow Sunshine for Joseph O'Brien at 33-1. I was going, how did this horse win this race? You're just going, what? What's going on? And sometimes you get these just kind of strange results. And they might have fancied it and everything, but you'd 6.5 was in there, odds on favourite. And it's just going, how are you supposed to try and make this pay as a punter at Punchestown? And that's where you want to be sometimes maybe looking at each way horses that maybe have had a bit of market support in the morning.
Yeah, and I mean, at this stage of the year now, I would be thinking more of flat horses. But Punchestown for me is more
crack.
It's a crack. It's a good day. Like, God knows if you and I get together at Punchestown, the day kind of unravels very fast. But we have a lot of fun. We meet a lot of people.
We could be meeting Racing Pod Club members, because everyone who registered an interest in tickets for Punchestown got lucky.
God, imagine if they met us and they were sorely disappointed. But, so many people over from England as well. Like, Nicky Henderson loves coming over. It's nice.
Anthony Honeyball is always a trainer worth following, because he's good. He's good at plotting horses at Punchestown for maybe, I remember, he had Lilith, I think, won there a couple of years ago. I remember backing it, Rex Dingle. Paul Nicholls would come over at Neptune Collange and win, and Nicky Henderson that. So, obviously, they're not coming over for nothing. John Joe Neal, watch the English runners.
I'm not sure what the narrative this year is. The chance of a really good Gold Cup, I think. Other than that, it's kind of like, you know, the champion hurdle picture for me isn't especially amazing at the moment without Constitution Hill. Were we blown away by the novices at Cheltenham? Not really. But the Gold Cup, and the Gold Cup is probably the main one. And there will be, I like horses who are coming to Punchdown. Like, say if Bartholomew runs, right, for Martin Brassel,
yeah,
who's raced twice for him and was with Nicky Stokes, I think, last run, was bought for not huge money, but had a good platform for a smaller trainer. And I spent time at Martin's stable in the Curragh lately, and he does like this horse. And if Martin runs him in the grade one for four-year-olds, I would take the hint a bit, because he definitely would feel he's good enough to run well. And it's not that he would have trained many juvenile herders, but that wouldn't put me off at all. So horses like that, that are kind of just creeping into Punchdown lightly raced, I'd be very interested in.
Just by the way, this is the last day of the William Hill Each Way Extra Challenge series. You weren't here last week, Johnny, but Philip Rothwell was, and he's set to win the trainer's prize, €50,000 this evening at Kilbeggan. Paul Nolan is in second place at the moment, and it's pretty tight in the jockeys' race. Philip Enright leading by 2 points from Daniel King, with Turner Power Roach and Simon Tarns in a chance and getting some cash as well for their efforts this season. And all the stable staff are eligible. It doesn't matter which yard you're associated with.
I have to say, I know that Horse Racing Ireland tried to bring in these races for that excluded the so-called Big Four trainers, and there was a fight back, and that didn't happen, and that's fine. And the Irish Racehorse Trainers Association worked with William Hill on this idea, and since I've seemed to have been around a lot of races since it started, and it seems like Philip Rothwell has been leading the whole way, and Philip Rothwell will know this as well as anyone. €50,000 is plenty of money for a trainer. Like, a lot of trainers, it's a tough game. And it was more so as well that the stable staff had an incentive. But Philip Rothwell, he definitely has targeted it, and it's worked for him. And fair play to Hills for the initiative. I feel it's been great, and I've enjoyed it all the way along.
And he's going to bring his owners out for dinner, I think. So fair play to him. And
yeah, isn't that nice? You know, nice thing, give a bit back. But he said there's money to be made here, and why not go for it?
Yeah.
With relatively ordinary horses.
And the stable staff as well, getting looked after. Very sad news about John Fleming. He was the publisher of the Irish Racing Yearbook, and a well-known figure in Irish racing and ownership and bloodstock. He died this week very sadly in an accident. So, and he was in his 60s, John Fleming. Our condolences with his family and his friends. May he rest in peace. Very sad news.
Hugely popular man in racing, and I suppose he was the racing people's accountant, and there was a lot of shock when this emerged yesterday. Obviously, the nature of it is desperately tragic, unfortunate for him. But I have to note the amount of feedback that came in on WhatsApp, how popular this man was, and just a guy who really lived for racing, like, wants to give something back as well, and did.
Yeah, very sad news, John Fleming. May you rest in peace. Okay, let's look at this weekend, Johnny. You did touch upon John Bond there. I mean, this horse has been incredible. 28 starts, 20 wins, 8 second places. You almost hope he might retire soon, because he's been an incredible horse for Jimmy McManus, Nicky Henderson, and he runs in the Celebration Chase. A race he's won twice. He lost it to Elegia Tons last year, but Elegia Tons does not run. He goes to Punchestown. So lovely for John Bond to win this, does he? It's 2:55 Sandown on Saturday.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a racehorse like John Bond. And it's strange. Like, John Bond came around after his brother Duvan, who, there was so much hype around Duvan, but, like, you look at how unpredictable horse racing can be. Like, Duvan turned out to be so fragile. Like, he couldn't go near this career that John Bond has had. And the stats that you mentioned, 28 starts, 20 wins and 8 seconds. That is absolutely incredible for a jumps horse. Like, he's run 22 times over fences. So, like, to be jumping all of those fences in top class races, grade one after grade one after grade one, and almost never look like falling. And then, you know, at 10 years of age, to have the enthusiasm that he has. He was second to Hartwood at Cheltenham, and maybe that's why people would take him on here. For me, he's not a Cheltenham horse at all. The previous time he ran at Cheltenham, he was beaten 15 lengths at the November meeting. But in this race last year, JD, if he had won it last year, he would be going for four in a row in this race. And for all that he was, as you say, well held by Ilete Tomp in the race last year, he beat Energamine by 10 lengths nearly. And Energamine, if he were in the form he was in when he won recently at Ferry House, he's still not a bad horse. And Edwardstone, who reopposes tomorrow, was fourth. And this track just suits him. You know, he's not that much bigger than Tisalask, and this is the quandary for punters, is that Tisalask hasn't run since the Clarence House race, which was the 17th of January. When John Bond looked vaguely under duress, sort of from the second last, a race that was notable for Ilete Tomp disappointing in. But ultimately, John Bond won well. And, like, are you to say that I can't have Tisalask that close to John Bond in the price, because he almost never lets you down. He never lets you down, and he's the one horse, maybe tomorrow will be the day now that I'm saying, but he's the one horse that it wouldn't bother me at all that he's run at Cheltenham. Mirabad's interesting, though.
Money first.
Definitely, yeah. Mirabad's a stablemate
into
of Tisalask.
With Hills.
Now, this horse is by Glen Eagles, and they changed the tactics the last day at Aintree when he beat, you know, a somewhat disappointing Salvador Mundi. But the horse in behind, Beware Mighty Bandit, Calaconti fell that day. But even so, like, there was no fluke about it. Mirabad, who's probably just really appreciating a nice bit of ground now. I nearly have a saver on him. I think he's going to be ridden cold by Tristan Durella Road the last day. And he's a 7-year-old who's definitely on the up. And I would have him a lot shorter to this last. There's only £5 between them. And I don't think he's flattered by that. They changed the tactics the last day and he looked very good.
So, but Solness ran well in the Melling Chase at Aintree to be second. Ground and trip, not an issue. Did run poorly at Sandown once before.
Yeah, I'd give Solness a chance. I was impressed how he got the trip at Aintree. I wasn't entirely sure that he'd be as home over 2.5, but he really did. And that race at Aintree, as is often the case at Aintree, it was notable for a horse disappointed at a short price who ran at Cheltenham, the aforementioned Hartwood. So on a line through... John Bond, Solness will be winning that. On a line through Hartwood, Solness will be beating John Bond. But I would give him a chance. As you say, maybe not his ideal track. We'll see. Like, he's a kind of an all-or-nothing horse.
I wish there was eight runners in this, because if there was, I'd back JPR1 at a price, because I thought he ran really well at Cheltenham. I think he was tanking and he didn't get home. I think that was one of his best ever runs. Look, he's probably between handicap and graded status. He's somewhere in that purgatory. But he's a decent horse, JPR1. Just disappointed there's not eight runners.
Yeah, that's the only disappointment of the race. I suppose there, you know, you have the alternative races in Ireland and all that. But he hasn't been in bad nick, and I do think dropping back in trip will suit him. But I suppose you're wondering where he's at this stage of his career.
The Gold Cup then used to be called the Whitbread, wasn't it, back in the day? 3.5 miles, half three at Sandown. Like, this is really it's always the season finale, almost day, but also race. This is the race. I always say this is the last race of the jump season in the UK. William Mullins has, you know, turned out Manetta Cocooner to win it in recent years. Resplendent Grey won it last year over course and distance for Sean Bowen and Ollie Murphy. But must defy a £10 rise for that. It was well held at Cheltenham in March. Didn't think this race was that classy.
No, Willie had the second, third, fourth and fifth in this race last year. Probably Rachel Blackmore's last ride for him on Lombron, who finished second, and I'm speculating a bit there, but Rachel obviously retired since. Now, I'm speculating also that Willie has gotten this race into his roster because he was going for the title, but now he isn't, but he kind of knows the race. And Patrick gets the ride on Road to Home, who's owned by a very wealthy Englishman by the name of... Mr. Davies, who has a couple of good horses, and he has interestingly kept Patrick on, because Patrick was going for his first win ever. One of the races that has eluded him is Kim Muir, which he nearly won at Cheltenham. This horse did so much right that day, JD. Whether it was the good ground, it wasn't. He hasn't had that many starts over fences. He was very, very good. Travelled well, did pretty much nothing wrong. Denied on the line. He's up £6, but I feel he's plenty of upside. It's a bit different now, Patrick riding in this race, taking on the pro jockeys. I'd have to say, like, it's not the same taking on amateurs. And good to see Shane Cotter over as well. He's taken off 7. He's been a very good jockey in the point-to-point sphere. But you have, obviously, the likes of Ben Jones, Sean Bowen, Brendan Powell riding against Patrick. But I feel it's probably a nod that Willie comes over here when he doesn't have a title to go for.
Havalia is a course winner and improving type. He won the Sussex National over the distance at Plumpton earlier this month. Only 7.
definitely more to come from this horse, who's been around the head of the market for Gary Moore, local trainer for the kind of area in the south of England there. So that's the favourite 9-2 with Montregard for Stan Shepherd and Tom Lacey in the colours of Jimmy McManus. A bit of an in and out performer, to be honest. A 7-year-old won twice at Ascot this season. He's also thrown in no-shows as well, so he might be unexposed, but he's also hard to trust. Rock My Way, I'm fascinated by this runner, but I'm a little bit worried. I mean, Joe Tizzard in his blog, I think with Carl, said he was a bit worried about the ground, but and the ground is quickening. It's going to be the fastest ground you're going to have in National Hunt all season, I think, at Sandown on Saturday. But he's off at Evanstone. He won really impressively over a similar distance at Ascot, bounced off the ground earlier this season. Then he only gave way late on in the Midlands National, carrying 12 stone. He's 8 now. He was second behind H.E. Kalour at Cheltenham last season. I think there could be more to come from him. He's drifting a bit in the market, but Rock My Way could be a horse 14-1 to keep an eye on.
Yeah, the ground would probably be the concern. If the trainer is worried about it for me, given that I don't know what sort of effort Sandown are going to make in terms of keeping it, but that will dry out lots from declaration time.
Even after they water it.
Yeah.
Remember this horse called Bo won this race years ago, and he won it by half the track. He won it by a distance. It was one of the greatest ever staying chasing performances, Nigel Twist and Davies, around 2000. And then he ran in the Grand National, the one that Red Marauder won the following year. And he was out in front off top weight. And then Carla Welland said he should have had longer reins. He just made a mistake. And then he lost the reins or the irons, and he was just, and he couldn't continue. So it's amazing the horses you remember.
Yeah. But this, that time in your life as well.
That time in your life. And I remember
Hewick won in 2022.
There you go, yeah, the Sandown Gold Cup. There's a couple of shoulder races at Sandown as well on Saturday. There's the 220, which is the Oaksy Chase. What struck me as interesting about this for a Saturday race at Sandown, 45,000 sterling for a race with every respect, moderate horses.
Yeah, moderate might be a little bit harsh, but I know what you mean, yeah. 151, and after that it's 143.
45 down. Grand sterling, that's a lot of cash compared to what we'd have here on offer, possibly.
It does, I mean... Should there be an Irish runner over, and an Irish runner that possibly is between a rock and a hard place in Punchtown? One thing that seems very obvious in this race is nearly everything can make the running or will want to make the running, and Blow Your Wad is going to be so well suited by that for Gary and Josh Moore. And also the fact that when he scored at Chepstow the last day, he was out to his right a good bit. Sandown should be absolutely perfect for him.
Remember him winning at Kempton at Christmas one year, yeah?
Yeah, and from a pace angle, he just looks... The race looks really, really made for him. It looks impossible that there won't be a pace for him to sit off. Mahon's Glory is a horse that I wouldn't necessarily give up on. Ex-Irish, and has been actually holding his form well. He's another horse who will be up to pace, but he's rated 139, and he's not far off these. And Hills are 16-1. I'm surprised. It's not a particularly strong race, JD, for the grade, you'd have to say.
Yeah, Doyen's Quest was the one I spotted because he's run well this season. Now, he's short enough for 5-2, but he had ran well at Aintree and likes to top of the ground and ran well at the course earlier this season. Didn't run well at Aintree, I beg your pardon.
Yeah, he's another horse that could. He could make the running, but at Aintree he didn't, and he was disappointed, but he is better than that.
And the last one we're going to look at Sandown is the one with Cabral de Mathananish, who ran so well in the Stairs Hurdle before maybe not getting the trip. This is in the 4:02 at Sandown on Saturday. This is the select hurdle. He's odds on. You have Jingo Blue, who won at Cheltenham, and a handicap in there as well. But is this Cabral de Mathan penalty kick?
Yeah, like, if you're to believe ratings, he really shouldn't be as short as he is. I suppose when he clashed against Jingo Blue at Cheltenham in January, which was...
The Rel Keel hurdle, yeah.
The Rel Keel, he was so good that day. And he did exactly the same back at Cheltenham in the Stairs hurdle. But then the last came, and I don't know if it was just stamina. Like, for me, he stopped so quickly.
Went out like a light.
Yeah, I think he lost his right foreshoe. I thought for me there was more to that than stamina. Like, it was the doubt that day was, will he get the trip? And he was probably travelling better than any horse who wasn't leading in any race at Cheltenham going to the last. And as much as Home by the Lee is a doughty horse, who showed that subsequently, like, he beat him by 6 lengths, which looked impossible at the time. So I don't know if it was stamina, and it was a really good performance. He's only 6. I'd want a bit bigger than 1-2.
If you're going to take a flyer then on something else, which one?
I'd probably go with Jinko Blue because he ran behind Home by the Lee at Aintree. He ran fine, and as much as he was beaten by Cabral de Bath and Cheltenham, he's a very straightforward horse. He'll just be sent out there, drops back and trip, and he's a much, much bigger price. He'd be my selection against, but I'd probably be apt to support Cabral de Bath in an acre or two, but I think he'll get better than 1-2 tomorrow.
Just let's look at Navan then on Saturday. We've got a couple of listed races and a group three. So this Charles Darwin for Aidan O'Brien, the three-year-old in the 6 furlong listed stakes at 2:30 at Navan on Saturday. Odds on. Won the Norfolk Stakes at Royal Ascot last year. A course and distance winner as well. Bally Doyle, I've spoken about him in glowing terms. I suppose the question with him and a lot of the horses at the moment is match sharpness. Will they improve for one run? Aidan has 6 wins from his last 35 runners as we record this on Friday, 17% strike rate. But Albert Einstein got beaten again last weekend.
Do they need the
pipe opener to get them really right?
It depends on the horse. Like it's and Aidan's record in the UK in April in over the last few years has been poor. So like I don't know. They do need a run, but like for me, it depends on the horse. I think it's more like if a lot of the Galileo breds will be brought along gently. The likes of this lad, I don't think it'll be a problem at all. The dam has been very good, and this is a full brother to Blackbeard, Charles Darwin. So a lot was expected of him last year. What was interesting here was I think when William Hill opened, William Hill went 1-2 or shorter. Another bookmaker went 4-6. So that's quite a difference. I think as much as this horse given £5 away, I find it very, very hard to see him beaten. My one concern is he hasn't run since he scored at Royal Ascot in the Norfolk when he was very good that day, 8-13. He looks bulletproof. He was very good on his sole visit to Navan last year. Really, really typical strong no name ever. And there's nothing really, like you look at the opposition, if a filly is good enough to beat him, he's simply not at his best. And that leaves you with Frescobaldi, who has switched stable, Starman Tom, Chicago Call, they shouldn't be good enough. So he's given a bit of weight away, but God, he should be winning this.
The fillies are interesting in terms of what they do. Kindergarten won first time out over course and distance in October for Jessica Harrington. And Silk Braid has similar profile to the one I've just mentioned. She won her maiden over the distance in October for Jer Lyons at the Curra.
Yeah, like by sort of low-key stallions, wouldn't be anything like the hype of the favourite. When Silk Braid won, beat the odds on starred at the Curra and looked quite promising. I suppose Jer Lyons has been, hasn't had that many runners so far this season. They seem in grand form. I'd always respect Anthony he runs because I feel he runs his horses when he thinks they have a chance of winning or a place. But Charles Darwin was considered, between Charles Darwin and Albert Einstein and one or two others were the hyped two-year-olds last year. And there's no reason this horse shouldn't have trained on. No, and he never is a funny sire. I think he still hasn't actually gotten a classic winner. And a lot of his horses end up being sort of more speedy types. He has a very good horse of Aidan's who won last weekend, whose name escapes me, that could be quite promising. But this lad, a lot of hopes will be on him this year. And 6 furlongs might be as far as he wants to go, JD.
So then we have the next race at Navan on Saturday we're going to look at, which is the listed race, the Vintage Crop Stakes. Remember the Great Stare, 1.6 mile. Once again, to me, Scandinavia is odds on. Is he going to be Cherry Ripe for his first run of the season? Won the Goodwood Cup and the St. Ledger at Doncaster last year. So on ratings, he's the horse to beat.
Yeah, by Justify, like the big, the great hope that Aidan had, who City of Troy, and Justify's going to be an interesting sire for them. But I wasn't sure how far this horse would stay, being by Justify, but he stays very, very well. When he met Carmers at Ascot in what race that was, the Queen's Vase, he was beaten that day. But when they clashed subsequently, he had his measure. So there's a little bit of a concern, I suppose, here, JD, is you're going to take odds on against Carmers, who Paddy Toomey's horses are very, very sharp at the moment. They're definitely ready to roll. And Scandinavia just might need it a bit. But then you look at Aidan's record in the race. He just wins it pretty much every year. Kyprios, Emily Dickinson, Kyprios, Order of St. George in recent years, Bondi Beach. And it's his only runner in the race. And I'd just be kind of a little bit wary of, if he's a little bit short, will Navan find him out? Because it's a tough start, but I still think he should win.
That's a 3:05 at Navan.
Very likeable horse.
Yeah. And what else is in there? Emish might improve his first run of the season. The Curra was second in a group 2 at Longchamp in October.
One thing I should say as well, that Scandinavia started off last year at Navan and he bolted up, which would be a big positive.
That's a good point. 3:40, the Salsaville Stakes for fillies, 1 mile and two, group three, seven runners. This is more of an open betting test. The one I liked actually was Chasing Paradise, a winner on her first start of the season at the Curragh over the distance. She's going to enter in the Irish Oaks. The connection's also having a horse, which is good to see. I think with Johnny Murcia is interesting, the Magnier connections.
Yeah, this horse is strangely weak in the market. Went off twos at the Curragh, but was a lot bigger on the exchanges. That to me would imply that she needed the run a bit that day because she was entitled. She finished second to Amelia Earhart, first time out, and she was very strong at the finish. The race was won't run a long way out. Gave me the impression on that occasion, JD, that the mile and two at Navan would suit her. I'm actually going to go with her as well. I feel this race is so difficult. Like even Aidan's...
They're all drifting in the market, all of them. She's well, 6-1 bad top price.
Yeah, like Aidan runs three and there's actually not much between them in the betting or form. Minerva, who's Wayne Lorden's mount, Ice Dancer, one of the two wooden bassets and Bloom, and Thundering On seem to be very well regarded because she was 5-4 against the highly rated Skydance at Leopardstown the last day, which on her seasonal day, just for Brian horses, oh my God, unbelievable form. So respected as well and fascinating tactical battle. And if you haven't backed horses much at Navan, like however you're travelling at the top of this race, it's a long, long way out. In a race like this, you're basically not even at halfway.
But would you not think though Ryan Moore will be on the best one or being told?
No, he might be on the best one, but that doesn't mean this horse will be the best one tomorrow as well. And he might be on the horse that he's most interested in going forward in terms of classic. I wouldn't, like, Ice Dancer wouldn't necessarily go off shorter than Bloom or Minerva, who was one of the two Frankels in the race. Very, very difficult race.
We have Sam Norris and William Hill on the line. How are you, Sam?
I'm very good, chaps. Yeah, looking forward to this weekend's racing. And I've got a day in Punchestown next week.
Well, so what day is that, son?
Tuesday. Ooh. I'll be there.
Have you got all the winners for Sam?
Ooh, I don't know about that. We sponsor the Champion Chase again this year, so that's the work angle. That's the excuse for being able to go over. But I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Punchestown before, so yeah, can't wait for that.
Oh, you're in for a treat, Sam. Great course. Great course.
Yeah, it's right toward the top of my list of places I'd like to go racing in Ireland. And so hopefully that'll be a good day.
Marine Nationale, of course, back out after missing Cheltenham against Les Tétons. Majber is also declared. Solness is declared for tomorrow. And Urgerman, Blood Destiny, and Captain Guinness. Probably going to be between the three then, Les Tétons, Marine Nationale, and Majber.
Yeah, and I kind of feel like Marie Nationale has been a little bit forgotten about. Yeah. I still think he's the daddy in this division. There's so many reasons to be against Marsh, but obviously with the jumping issues, and obviously LSA Tomp was the beneficiary at Cheltenham. But yeah, I think Marie Nationale, you can't say he flies under the radar because obviously the trainer's very, very bullish with his praise for the horse. But I still think he's the king of the two milers, but we'll see.
Yeah, he's about 2-1, isn't he, Marie Nationale, for Tuesday's Champion Chase. At Punchestown, and looking forward to seeing you, Sam, there. What about Haydock? You've got a card at Haydock, don't you, as well, tomorrow?
Yeah, looking forward to that as well, actually. Obviously, we're in that nice portion of the year, aren't we, where there's great flat racing and great jumps racing. We sponsor most of the card at Haydock. The William Hill Epic Boost Handicap at 2:35, probably the most interesting betting race that we've seen thus far. There is a mover to report in that race as well. Caburn is 15-2 into 9-1. Might just have a fitness edge on some of the rivals, has already had a run this season. That was at Doncaster. It was a fine effort over six, stepping back up to seven. I think he's going to suit on that evidence. So Caburn's a kind of notable mover in that race, but we saw good money midweek for Cozy Bello. And Car Fizz is a horse we're just keeping half an eye on as well. Ed Bethel's really hit the ground running. He's got his string purring along at the moment. So yeah, looking forward to having a few sponsored races there at Haydock tomorrow. The 2:35 and Caburn, the most interesting race kind of, and the most interesting horse from a market mover perspective.
Hector Crouch rides that one. Do you find it easy, Johnny, to transfer between form study of the jumps and the flash? Can you get into the English meetings pretty quickly? Because so many of them, they're thick and fast now.
I do find at this stage of the year that you need to do your homework and refresh yourself, refresh your mind on the flat horses, like the good horse from last year. But I'm at Limerick tomorrow now, and strangely enough in Ireland, there are two flat meetings tomorrow at two tracks, basically, that don't get crowds at all for the flat, Navan and Limerick. And it's kind of the nature of the game. Like, it's good meeting at Navan, but I imagine it'll be quiet. But Limerick is quite good as well. And I really enjoy the 2 year old races this time of year to see the horses starting off. But at this time my mind would start going to the flat, to be honest.
Would you look at horses in the parade ring and have a sense of their fitness when you're seeing them, given you're there so much?
I wouldn't be great at a horse's fitness in the parade ring. I'd be just a more the physique of the horse. Like, I tipped a horse up at Gorn the other night against a horse, Joseph O'Brien's, by Kingman, who I tipped in a group race last year at the Curragh. I think he was back from 25s into 9-2, finished third. Stupidly took him on at Gorin the other day, and I was watching the race. I was like, this horse is an absolute tank. The horse I'd taken on, he bolted up, like, looked really, really like he'd matured into a 3-year-old, and that sort of stuff I would take. I do like it's one thing about going racing. If you go, it's up to you to pick a horse that you like in the ring, particularly with unraced horses, and I do like that on the flat.
What about then the celebration chase of Sandown on Saturday, Sam? Is John Bond solid in the market?
Yeah, he is. It's still a bit of a kind of willy, won't he? Obviously, the ground at the moment is good to firm in places, but they are watering on the track. He took his chance in the race last year when it was good ground. So hopefully he is going to run. Obviously, he's built up that incredible record of never finishing outside of the first two, 12, 13 grade ones now. He's won this a couple of times before. Fingers crossed he lines up. You might want to check back in with us 9 o'clock Saturday morning as well, where we'll be going live with our Epic Boost. Can't possibly say what our Epic Boost is going to be at this stage, but we boost the price of John Bond finishing the first two in the Ryanair at Cheltenham. So it might be John Bond themed again. That'll be well worth having a little look at come 9 o'clock tomorrow. Look, the dangers are obviously Thistleask, who's raced up the grades through the course of this season, but got beat by John Bond in the Clarence House. And you touched on Joseph O'Brien's form there. He's got Solness in the race. He ran a cracker at Aintree over 2.5 in the Melling, dropped back to 2. He'll try and boss this from the front as he always does, and the yard are just in sensational nick at the moment. So I wouldn't be surprised if Solness can maybe get the better of John Bond. I think John Bond will keep up his record of finishing in the first two, but he might have to play second fiddle to Solness, who's 9-2. Thought it was just an excellent effort at Aintree. But as far as the punters are concerned, John Bond's rock solid. And he's become a really popular horse. He was a horse that we maybe thought didn't quite get his flowers perhaps earlier on in his career. He was maybe a little underrated for his CV, but it's less the case now. He's very popular, and I think he will be again tomorrow, particularly with that Epic Boost.
Then we have that Gold Cup at Sandown, the 3:30. What's attracting support? Because good to firm is something I just don't hear anymore when it comes to going description. So that is interesting. They'll be bouncing off the ground there.
Yeah, that's it. And it's all going to be, you know, how much water they're going to put on, you know, tonight, tomorrow. I imagine they won't want any firm in the description at all if they can avoid it, which, as you say, is a real rarity for national hunt horses in this day and age. The each way terms are probably quite favourable for punters here as well. We're going 1/4 the first four in the main market, and then you can bet up to 7 places at 1/5 for the each way. There's kind of 2 horses that have gravitated toward the top of the betting. They're Havela and Montegard. They're 9-2 joint favourites at the moment. Both have been popular. Havela, it's the Gary Moore factor. He's got a wonderful record at Sandown. Horses have proven stay, having won the Sussex National at Plumpton last time around. Montregard hasn't proven himself over this trip just yet. He was pulled out of the Scottish National on account of the heavy ground. So it'd be interesting to see how he shapes up. And one they've nibbled at each way is last year's winner, Resplendent Grey. He's 14-1 into 12-1. He's up £10 for this year. He's got to carry top weight, but I don't think it's the strongest renewal of this race we've ever seen. He could well go close again. So Resplendent Grey may be one for the each-way punters with those each-way extra terms. Ask Bruce has been popular enough off the back of his win at Cheltenham. But, yeah, I would keep an eye on Resplendent Grey. He might just be able to back up in probably a softer renewal than it was 12 months ago, even though he's up £10.
What about the other races of Sandown? Is Cabral de Mathan solid enough? Is Blow Your Wad solid enough in those shoulder races?
Yeah, Cabral de Mathan rock solid at 1-2. Not really laid a bean on anything else in that race. Plenty of people think or thought he travelled like the winner in the Stayers Hurdle at Cheltenham. He might be the emerging force in this division next season. Jinko Blue and Friendship, you know, they're good horses, but they're maybe just handicappers. They perhaps lack the class of Cabral de Mathan. So no surprise to see punters want to be with him. And you're right, Blow Your Wad as well. He's shortened into 13-8 from 15-8 now. We always see Gary Moore horses well back to Sandown. You mentioned that already. And there's kind of question marks about a couple of the others. Obviously, Doyen Quest is in there for the champion trainer, elect Dan Skelton. Matterhorn runs for Paul Nichols, who's won this race three times in recent years. He won it three times back to back to back, actually. But he might get taken on for the lead by Etalon and Marne's Glory. So, yeah, Blow Your Wads kind of pretty solid in that race as well. The horse we probably laid on the Sandown card runs in the 145, Cosmic Connection. He's 5-1 from 13-2 for Chris Gordon. Sam Twist and Davis takes the ride. So that's the mover, but a lot of kind of solid favs that are maybe going to go into Akers, I think, tomorrow.
Remember you gave us a mover there at Maidan a few weeks ago and it won the next day. I can't remember.
Yeah,
the Orange Colors, I think it was. I can't remember the name of it now.
Yeah, it was the Japanese horse. He won a race on the dirt, didn't it? The Group Two. I can't remember the name of the horse.
The day of the Dubai World Cup, wasn't it? Who won the Dubai World Cup again? Our memories are all gone here.
Yeah, because the horse who should have won it got beat again, didn't he? Forever Young. He got turned over as an odds-on favourite for a second year in a row. But I can't just remember what beat him now.
I'm going to try and find out. This is the great thing about being a Racing Post subscriber. Like just looking like next week, Johnny, we got Punchestown, we got the Guineas then next Saturday, like at Newmarket, you know?
It's a magic time of year, as Sam says, when the jumps is kind of rolling into the flat. It's a great time of year. And all the...
Wonder Dean, that's the name of the
Wonder
thing.
Wonder Dean, yeah.
Remember, you're telling us that he'd been money from you. It came up 5-1. He was definitely bigger than that when you told us on the Friday. What about...
I think he was 16s in the morning. And then I think he was 18-5s again on the day. So yeah, he was well. That was a nice result.
Yeah, no, it's interesting when you see such a big move and the horse actually does win then. What about Navin then on Scandinavia, Charles Darwin, any early million-pound bets going on them?
Yeah, as you guys have kind of touched on already, you know, the fact that Albert Einstein flopped on his seasonal return, Pierre Bonnard flopped on his seasonal return, there is a little bit of trepidation, punters, you know, weighing in too short on some of these Aidan O'Brien runners. No question that Charles Darwin has the best form in that race. But as we've seen in sprint races in the UK and Ireland in the last couple of years, you know, they can throw up some strange results. So we're kind of laying horses against him. Chicago Call is 12-1 into 9-1. And it's the same move, Silk Braid as well, 12-1 into 9-1. Chicago Call's already got his first run of the season under his belt. He should strip fitter for that effort. And Silk Braid, she won a Curra Maiden the back end of last season. That's her only start. So she's 1-1. Interesting to see how the pair of those two get on. Scandinavia again, maybe less trepidation about him. He's an older horse. He did win on his seasonal return last year. I do like Karmas, and as Johnny kind of alluded to, if Karmas is to turn around the ledger form with Scandinavia, he probably has a better chance earlier on in the season. So I think Karmas is verging on a bet at 100-30 now. And I will just mention one other horse that's running tomorrow, Emilia, the Donnacher O'Brien horse in the 340. This is a horse we quite like with a view to the classics this season. We're a tentative 25-1 that she wins the Oaks. We're kind of ducking her a little bit in that market. Her form's in Dundalk Maidens. Obviously, this is a different kettle of fish, but the horse that she beat last time around, Eritrea, came out and hacked up at Leopardstown a few weeks ago. We're quite sweet on Emilia going forward. And we've got a 66-1 special on that she wins that race tomorrow and then follows up in the Oaks as well. So you could be sitting on a 66-1 ticket for the Oaks on a horse that we're a tentative 25-1 about at the moment. So, yeah, very interested to see how Emilia goes tomorrow. She might be the horse we're most interested in on the Navin card, even though, obviously, you know, Charles Darwin and Scandinavia are going to go off pretty thin odds.
She's out of Camelot and she's Matt Sharp. She won at Dundalk, Johnny.
Yeah, and as Sam says, Eritrea really boosted that form, and Dunica's horse is in good nick as well. The two O'Briens are going well at the moment. It's a very, very tricky race, that. So likely race, and I think it'll be tactical as well. Interesting play for the classics if you want at 66s.
Johnny Ward's charity bet on the Racing Pod this week. You got €50, Johnny, to spend 25 each way or 50 on the nose. What are you thinking?
Yeah, this is going to be at an unknown price at the moment. Horse of Jessica Hines, as I said, I'm in Limerick tomorrow, and in the 4:25, I note that Jesse has brought Ket and Kendi to ride Collecting Coin. And you might remember Collecting Coin was a well-back winner in Galway last year. He's a good-looking horse by Luke de Vega, and afterwards they were saying how much they liked him. I remember he finished third at Killarney, and he ran well. And his two runs since that, he was well backed at the Curragh on his last start, as if he were well handicapped. I thought his comeback run at Naas was very encouraging, and I'd expect a big performance from him in the 4:25 collecting coin at Limerick tomorrow.
Each way or on the nose?
16 runners, so each way.
So, Johnny Ward's Charlie Bet on the Racing Pod this week, 4:25 at Limerick on Saturday, number 6, collecting coin, 25 each way at SP. Looking forward to seeing you at Punchestown, Sam. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Daz. Hope we can catch up. See you next week.
And the good news is, Johnny, we have a Punchestown pod for our Racing Pod listeners and viewers. So the deal is, folks, 10 a.m. each day, the whole Racing Pod team, myself, Johnny Ward, Don McLean and Tom Malone, we'll be presenting the pods. So 10 a.m. daily, Tuesday to Friday on our YouTube channel. Then the pods are going to drop 11:30 wherever you get your pods. You'll get the Racing Pod Punchestown special Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday, 11:30. It will drop with all the tips, with all the analysis and hopefully some winners for you as well. So looking forward to it, Johnny. Thank you.
Thanks, Judy. See you at Punchestown.
Okay, that was the Racing Pod for this week. Remember, it's free wherever you get your pods and Off the Ball. We'll talk to you ahead of our Punchestown shows.
The Racing Pod
on Off the Ball
with William Hill, 18+. See gamblingcare.ie.